Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
So it's the last Sunday in October, so we're wrapping up our Partners in Prosperity series. This whole month, each Sunday, we've been looking at a different aspect of prosperity. So far, we've kind of reminded ourselves the true meaning of prosperity, that it's like music, everything that makes you just feel like, man, life is really good. We've also reminded ourselves that in order to be true prosperity, we must include everybody in that good. And then last week, we reminded ourselves that God's givingness, the goodness in our life, is not limited in any way, that nothing is pie. And today, we want to kind of wrap it all up with gratitude and look at the connection between gratitude and prosperity. Gratitude is one of those things that it's good no matter which side you're on, right? It feels really good to give thanks, and it feels really good to receive somebody's gratitude. And we give thanks a lot. If you think about it, there's probably many times each day when you say thank you to somebody for something. Maybe you even start your day with some spiritual practice and it includes the element of gratitude. And yet sometimes we place some conditions on our gratitude, such as, I feel grateful when I receive this or that. Or I'll feel prosperous and express gratitude when I have this or that. But I have so little compared to others. Why should I be grateful? Or we focus on things that might take or chip away at that feeling of prosperity. We might focus on all the conflict that's in our society or perhaps in our families and at our own dinner tables. Or we focus on environmental degradation, inflation, these things that can take us away from that feeling of prosperity and therefore can take us away from feeling gratitude. But here's the thing. Having gratitude only when we receive something is only part of the equation. If we want to really build up our gratitude and our prosperity consciousness, we need to be grateful, yes, after the fact, that does feel good, but also even before we receive good. If we want to really build up that prosperity consciousness. And that word consciousness, I've thrown it around a lot this month, so let me be clear on what I mean by consciousness before I go any further. Consciousness is the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. We often say around here, we even say a version of it at the beginning of every service, change your thinking, change your life. That's true. Perhaps more true is change your consciousness, change your life. Our thinking, our thoughts come from our attitudes and our beliefs. So if we really want to work on our consciousness, let's work on all of it, thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs, the full package of consciousness. So that's consciousness. Now to return, more on that later, I guess, someday. But to get back to prosperity, You know, Jesus, one of the many great spiritual teachers humanity has been blessed with throughout the ages, had a lot to say about prosperity. One thing he said is, "For to him who has shall be given, and it shall increase to him. But to him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him." Now, if you just look at that as the plain words, it sounds kind of harsh. It sounds like, and has been interpreted as, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I really don't think this man who was focused on only love would teach that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Because, I mean, that's just mean, right? And I don't think this man had a mean bone in his body. But what helps to remember is that Jesus was always teaching about consciousness. And it also helps to realize that this, what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, comes right after he shares the parable of the sower, S-O-W-E-R. And that parable is about people casting seed or sowing seed into different types of soil. When we cast our seed on soil that hasn't been tended to, it's shallow, rocky, not fertile, you're going to have a poor harvest. But when we cast our seed on soil that's been well prepared, it's deep and rich and fertile, then we get a great bountiful harvest. So if we take these two teachings together, what we learn is that scarcity consciousness makes for very poor soil. We're giving life a very poor soil, unfertile ground in which to work, and we're not going to receive a whole lot. But prosperity consciousness, that's, we're giving life a rich, deep soil to build on, to grow from for us in our lives, and we're going to have a bountiful harvest. Another aspect of this is to remember that scarcity consciousness is also shallow soil, because it's believing that good is dependent on other people or conditions, where prosperity consciousness is deep, rich soil because we remember our true source. Prosperity consciousness is deep because it's knowing Spirit's eternal givingness. It's knowing that it is Spirit's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and it is knowing that our good is not dependent on people or conditions. Ernest Holmes put it in a little more simple language, which I think is helpful. Thoughts of lack manifest as limitation. Thoughts of abundance manifest as success and happiness. So how do we develop that deep, rich soil? Gratitude's probably the best way to do it. Gratitude is a spiritual superpower because it has creative power. It's not just an emotion. It has creative energy to it. In Islam, they go straight to the heart of the matter. They go straight to this connection between prosperity and gratitude. In the Quran, it's written, "If you are grateful, I would certainly give you more. And if you are ungrateful, my chastisement is harsh." They go straight to it, don't they? I guess Muhammad was a little clearer in his words than that guy named Jesus. He came a little while after Jesus. Maybe he figured, maybe we got to clean that up and reteach how we're saying that. But that's why he spent all those months, or maybe it was years, in a cave, Muhammad did. Now, much more recently, we have Eric Butterworth in his book, Spiritual Economics. He's a little clearer, too. He wrote, "Gratitude is not a reactionary emotion, but a causative energy. And it's causative because giving thanks is an important state of your consciousness that keeps you in an awareness of oneness with divine flow. That's what gratitude does. It keeps us in the awareness of our oneness with the divine flow. Now, last week, I mentioned how many psychological academic scholars have learned, no surprise to us, that perception of lack is just as powerful as actual lack. Well, the same is true for prosperity. Perception of prosperity is just as powerful because it and gratitude helps us perceive that prosperity. Gratitude helps us receive that prosperity, and gratitude helps prosperity be just as powerful because we feel it. When we have that prosperity consciousness before the fact, we're feeling it. We perceive it. We know what it looks like, tastes like, smells like, feels like. It's creating that mental equivalent of the thing desired, and that's why it's so powerful. And this works even when we're grateful for what might appear to not be a whole lot. Even if we're down to those last few bucks in the checking account, and years ago as an undergrad, it was less than a dollar a lot of times. It was more like 30 cents in the checking account at the end of the month, floating a check for groceries. And if you're not old enough to know what floating a check means, connect with somebody after the service that's a little older than you and start a conversation, okay? But even when we're down to the last few bucks, we can be grateful because those last few bucks still represent what I think of as God in action. Wherever this came from, there's more of it. The same for our career and our work. If it's less than satisfying, we could still be grateful for it because we're reminded jobs are created. There is work for me. There's work that needs to be done in the world, and I am part of it, and I can be an even fuller part of it. So I'm going to be grateful for what I have right now, and I know that it's growing into something grateful, or even better, even bigger, even a better expression of all my talents. That's the kind of gratitude we're talking about here today. And we're not talking, let me be clear, about settling. Settling is an entirely different thing. Settling is lack consciousness. Settling is giving up. Settling is, I forgot the word I was going to use. Fatalistic. Settling is fatalistic. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about knowing I have and I do have more. There's always more. And again, we can turn to Jesus in his, what's often called a miracle, but I'll talk about that in a moment, whether it actually was or not, feeding the multitudes. So this is how the story goes. Jesus is out there in the field. A bunch of people show up to listen to him. It might have been hundreds, might have been thousands. We don't really know. They didn't have any database to keep track. But there are a bunch of people there. And when he's done teaching, one of his disciples says, "Yo, man, there's like a lot of people here, and it's lunchtime, and they're hungry, and we didn't bring any food. What are we going to do?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do we have?" And this young boy steps up and says, "Hey, teacher, I have a couple loaves of bread and a few fish." So Jesus accepts that gift from the young boy. Jesus took the few loaves and fish, looked to heaven, and blessed them, and gave thanks, and the thousands were fed with surplus. There's a lot in that one statement, so let me tease it out for you. First of all, there's a few loaves and fish. It would have seemed to be inadequate for the number of people there, right? And then he looked to heaven. But Jesus already taught that heaven is within, so when he looked to heaven, he was looking to his high consciousness within him. Then he blessed the food. The real meaning of bless is to confer prosperity upon. So when Jesus blessed the little bit of food that was there, he blessed it in the sense of knowing this is a sign of abundance. And then lastly, he gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks before the people were fed. He gave thanks before knowing that those few fish and loaves represented abundance, knowing that God's full givingness, God's full abundance and substance is available everywhere all the time. And he gave thanks before knowing the people are fed. There's more than enough. So is it a miracle? Some have proposed that there are more rational explanations, like maybe some merchants in town thought, you know, that crazy dude is out there teaching all those people and they didn't take any food, so maybe we should send some food out there for him. I trust he'll pay us. He's an honest guy. Or other scholars have said, well, given the time, people didn't travel without food. There were probably a lot of people in the audience, knowing they were going out away from town, probably had food with them, and they shared it with everybody else. So it doesn't matter if it's a miracle or not. The point is, Jesus knew there would be enough, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks before the people were fed. He had deep faith. He never doubted that there would be enough. And all this reminds me of a certain farmer who went to his rabbi one day and said, "Rabbi, you got to help me, man. My house is way too small. It's me, my wife, and 3 children. It's just too small." The rabbi said, "Well, do you have any goats?" "Well, yeah, of course I have goats." "Well, here's what you do. Go home, bring 1 goat into the house, come back in a week." So the farmer does that. He comes back in a week, and he's tired, and he's grumbling even more. It's like, "Rabbi, this isn't working. The house is just too small. We're tripping over each other. I need a better solution." The rabbi says, "I have the perfect solution. Go home, bring another goat into the house." So the farmer does just that. He comes back a week later. He's had it. He's completely exhausted. He's cranky. He's like, "Rabbi, this is so not working. I mean, first of all, they stink. They're messy. They're loud. None of us are sleeping. You gotta fix this." The rabbi says, "Fine, go home, remove the goats, come back in a week." So the farmer does just that. He comes back in a week. He's got a big smile on his face. He is so happy. He's well rested. He's like, "Rabbi," he goes, "my house is so big. Life is so good." So the moral of the story is, no matter how absurd, do exactly what your spiritual leader says. Has nothing to do with gratitude. Okay, so there's another moral to the story. The one surefire way to have enough, or to even have more than enough, is gratitude. That farmer moved from lack consciousness and unhappiness to prosperity consciousness and great happiness through the power of gratitude. So how do we build the grateful heart? How do we build our gratitude? Well, we can do what Jesus taught and the farmer learned: be grateful for what we have and bless it no matter what it is, right? Also in the Jewish tradition, you know, there are many Jewish people who do not let a single morsel of food or drink of anything pass their lips without first saying a prayer of thanks, without first saying a blessing. In fact, they have a blessing for specific types of food and drink. and they say them before they eat or drink anything. And it's blessing it and giving thanks to the one who created everything in the first place. We can do this as well. And if we want to take it any further, we can go deeper with this and not only bless what we receive, but bless what we give out, knowing that it not only prospers us, but prospers other people. When we make purchases that enrich our lives, when we pay our utility bills that keep us warm, thank you, new furnace upstairs. When even when we pay our taxes, we can do this. I mean, after all, we do receive things for our with our tax dollars that prosper us, such as roads on which we can travel to our favorite trailhead or our favorite beach, airports that let us fly to visit family, beautiful city parks in which to have fun and recreate with our loved ones. So even when we're giving out, we are prospered in many ways, so we can bless that. We can have, again, as Jesus taught us, gratitude in advance of our good, which, by the way, is why our affirmative prayer, which has five steps. Step four is gratitude. Step one, God is. Step two, I am one with it. Step three, I receive and claim my good. Step four, I'm grateful for having already received this thing that I just claimed. And step three, step five, let it go and let the universe, life, figure out how to make it so. That's why we have gratitude right in our prayer. We're grateful before we even receive it. Because what this does is it helps us visualize it. We're creating that receptive mental equivalent before we receive. Neil Donald Walsh said, "Gratitude in advance is the most creative force in the universe." And it's the most creative force in the universe because, as Ernest Holmes says, there is something in this attitude of thanksgiving that carries us beyond the field of doubt into one of perfect faith and acceptance and receptivity. Another way to build the grateful heart is, as I mentioned at the very beginning, we say thank you a lot. We say it every day, many times. I'm encouraging us, and myself included, to be more specific, to be more intentional in our gratitude. Instead of just saying thank you, say thank you for listening to me. Thank you for helping me with that. Thank you for that specific thing you did. Thank you for being with me in this hard time. Be more specific, because it kind of sinks it into our consciousness more, and we're letting the other person know this isn't just some general gratitude. This is gratitude in the particular. We can also build a grateful heart by taking several mindful moments every day and just stopping and saying, I'm grateful for what is present right here, right now. I'm grateful every time we come together on Sunday and I get to be here with you. Every time I look out and see all your beautiful faces, I'm grateful. I'm grateful knowing that we have people who join us from all over the country in our virtual community space. I'm grateful to know that hundreds, if not thousands, of people will listen to this podcast. I'm grateful that because of your contributions, that podcast is made available to thousands of people who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Many of them listen to this podcast and they know they are part of us, even though we can't connect physically. I'm grateful for that. And I know from the letters they send us that they're grateful for that. So in this next week, I encourage you to practice your grateful heart. To be grateful before and after you receive a good, because it is gratitude that puts us in that consciousness of knowing the all-givingness of the One. And it is gratitude that keeps us in that divine flow. And I close with Meister Eckhart, who so wisely said, and can wrap up this whole talk, If the only prayer you said in your life was thank you, that would suffice. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org. and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.